Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in security.
Don't miss 20 seasons of Grizzlies basketball in Memphis. Limited single game tickets for all the second half games are on sale now. Get great seats at great prices to see your next Gen Grizz host Steph Curry and the Warriors, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, and more. Tickets start at just $12, but they won't last long. Check out grizzlies.com/tickets today, and you won't miss any of the action from your Memphis Grizzlies.
Mold can be dangerous and lead to serious health issues. Do you suspect mold? Contact Mold Terminator today. Ask about their free assessment. Mold Terminator specializes in certified safe mold removal. Call 877-8855, 877-8855.
When you place a wager with William Hill Sportsbook, every sports moment becomes even more interesting. And we have a special offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports, risk-free. Download the William Hill mobile app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RADIORF. Must be present in Tennessee. Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
National contest data message rate supply. The Parlay Payday. Powered by BetQL.
Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today.
11K a day.
Okay, another chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the word penny. P-E-N-N-Y. Text that word penny to the number 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our same-day parlay contest. Again, this hour's cash code word is penny. Text penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I will have another keyword coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, but right now you got plenty of time. Text the word penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 with 92.9. Good luck.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
What's going on, Memphis? Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll get to Gary in just a moment, but let me set up the show for you today. We're going to start off with college hoops. Obviously, the NCAA tournament starts on Thursday, so we got a lot to talk about there. At 4:44, we're going to talk about the Grizzlies game last night. Bennett, it was ugly. It was not a fun one. The Grizzlies were blown out by the Phoenix Suns. So we'll talk about that. At 5 o'clock, we'll be joined by Jeff Calkins, as always, Daily Memphian columnist. He has some competition when it comes to dog pictures. Grayson Allen is coming for his crown, so we'll ask him about that. At 5:25, we'll do NFL, then we'll do dinner to go and get out of here. But let's start now with the man whose show this is, Gary Parish, who's up in New York. I'm sure getting ready for all of the NCAA tournament stuff. What is the biggest storyline? What are you talking about up in New York this week, Gary?
Well, first, it's your show just as much as it's mine for probably the next few weeks, if we're being honest. And I appreciate that. This is always a tough time of the year where I'm pulled in so many different directions. And from Dan Barron to Brad Carson to Big Bet Bennett, I couldn't be more appreciative of everybody understanding of my demands and doing everything that they can do to help, you know, me get through what is a difficult time of the year. And I should be clear, it's not difficult like people who are like doing real manual labor work for, you know, 12 hours a day. It's not that kind of difficult, but it is demanding. There aren't enough hours in the day. And one of the great things is you know, for me is that, you know, the people at 92.9 and Intercom have always been as helpful as they could possibly be when it comes to you know, working around what we need to work around. So I'm appreciative of that and obviously appreciative of you of sitting in that chair. As it pertains to college basketball, this is always, again, a weird time of the year because the NCAA tournament's about to start, and I spend most of my time on the phone talking about the coaching carousel. Like, who's going to be the next coach at Indiana?
Rick Pitino. You know, Rick Pitino.
I would love it.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be my favorite thing. I don't think it's going to happen, and I won't even make the argument that it absolutely should happen. Like, if you could get Chris Beard, probably just go get Chris Beard. You know, if you could get Scott Drew, probably just go get Scott Drew. But I will say this. I think Rick Pitino would work, and it would be awesome to watch him work at another traditional big brand. He's already been at Kentucky. He's already been at Louisville. And now to be at Indiana, which is in the same geographical region of Kentucky and Louisville. Like, I don't know if people realize it, but, like, Indiana's not that far from Louisville. You know, it's like 2 hours. It's an easy drive. And it's among the reasons that those fan bases clashed. The Kentucky and Indiana fan base is because, you know, they live next to each other. And so, I just think he would be great there because he's great. I mean, people, you know, have labeled him one of the great coaches of all time. And he obviously is. He's a Naismith Memorial Hall of Famer. You can actually make the argument, if you want to sit down and do it, that he's the greatest college basketball coach who has ever lived, Mike Krzyzewski included. I mean, if Rick Pitino never leaves college basketball for the NBA, he could be sitting here with who knows how many national championships and probably the all-time wins as well. He is outstanding. And the idea that he just took the Iona job, just a whatever job in a whatever league, and now he's got that back in the NCAA tournament, is just another bullet point on that Wikipedia page that serves as a reminder. He's a really special coach. I've known Rick forever, since I was a Memphis beat writer in Conference USA and Louisville was in Conference USA. And I like him a lot. I won't defend some of the things that he's done. How could you? He's had some personal failings. He's had some professional failings. But I like him a lot on a personal level. I respect him a lot as an amazing basketball coach. And though people act like he's unhireable, like, well, you couldn't hire Rick Pitino. I get a lot of that, you know, in my mentions over the past 24 hours. You couldn't hire Rick Pitino. That's not true. You might choose not to hire Rick Pitino, but the NCAA has never formally accused him of anything specifically that makes him unhireable. Like, the worst thing he's ever done in the NCAA's eyes is hired scummy assistants who did scummy things and didn't monitor them properly. And if you want to say that you can't have him as your coach because of that, fine. But, like, you know, we just described Sean Miller. He's still the coach at Arizona. Will Wade has been accused of way more stuff as it pertains to NCAA rules than Rick Pitino has ever been accused of. And Will Wade's still the head coach at LSU. He'll be coaching in the NCAA tournament later this week. So if you just have a moral hang-up at Indiana or anywhere else about hiring Rick Pitino, fine. you know, I can't tell you what matters to you. It's a waste of conversation. But the idea that you can't do it for some sort of NCAA reason, that's just untrue. And I guess I'd bottom line it this way. Rick might not be the next head coach at Indiana. In fact, he probably won't be. But I do think he's going to coach at a higher level again. At some point, one of these places that is operating near the bottom of a power conference, that one of those places is going to open, and they're going to go, you know what, we're bad anyway. Nobody cares about us anyway. Let's go get Rick Pitino and see if we can make a run at this thing. And I know he's 68 years old. That's not young. But when you talk to Rick, text with Rick, whatever, he doesn't seem old. Like, you know, I'm not pretending that he's in his 30s or even his 40s, but he doesn't. He has aged well. I think he's still got a lot of coaching in him. He's somebody I could easily see coaching for another 5, 6, 7 years. And if he's coaching for you for the next 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to win. Why? Because he wins. He's outstanding.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. If it's truly about winning at Indiana, and let's be super clear, it is only about winning at Indiana, then I just don't see why. I don't see why there would be a holdup on hiring a guy like that. It just doesn't make any sense. It is interesting to me, you know, I'm an Alabama guy, right? That's where I went to school. And then I'm, of course, watching the selection show on Sunday, and I see that they're the number 1-2 seed. And it's kind of exciting because they haven't been very good in basketball recently, and this has, like, been a great season for them. And then you see it's against Rick Pitino, and everybody kind of goes, oh, okay, wow, that game just got a lot more interesting. What are the chances the Gales can make any noise with him? Should anyone be worried? They're like a 17-point underdog in the first game.
Yeah, like I would never tell you to be worried about a 17-point underdog. And, you know, it is true that it is Rick Pitino, and it is true that, you know, Iona just won its conference title. But, like, they went conference tournament title to get the auto bid, but they went 6-3, you know, in their league. This is not a great basketball team. It's a team that had Rick Pitino in a tournament, and so they won. But I honestly could see them getting blown out. Like, Rick is amazing, as we've established. But, you know, the team is what it is. It's a big underdog for a reason. And I'm somebody who actually thinks Alabama is terrific. I've got Alabama in my Final Four. This is a team. I don't want to say I'm the first person that started talking about them as a legitimate national title contender, not just Final Four contender, but like they can win the whole thing. But I have to be among the first who did it, because I identified something very early on that is incredibly unique in college basketball. And the reason I identified it is because it was Memphis last season, and it was incredible defensive efficiency numbers and a really fast tempo. Like, I had wondered last season when Memphis, you know, was operating like an NCAA tournament team before DJ Jeffries got hurt, like, how often do teams actually play this fast and guard that well? And when I went and looked it up, it wasn't often at all. And it was usually North Carolina teams under Roy Williams. And when you identified those teams, they were almost always great without exception. I'm talking the majority of them got number one seeds in the NCAA tournament. Some of them won national championships. To guard at that level and play at that pace is very difficult for your opposition, and it's also very rare for anybody to do it. So right now, Alabama is number 2 in defensive efficiency and 9th in tempo. So they guard you like crazy, and they play really fast. Beyond that, they are so committed to a specific style of play that about every other shot is coming from three-point range. You know, 47.1% of their field goal attempts come from beyond the arc, and that is not by accident. It's by design. I don't know if you read the story that Matt Norlander and Kyle Boone did for CBSSports.com, but they talked to Nate Oates extensively about this style of play. And it goes so far as to their practice court doesn't look like anybody else's practice court in America. They have all these different lines on it, like permanent lines on the court. And basically, the way they practice is that when they are playing, like, you know, scrimmaging within practice, a layup is worth 2 points. A three-pointer is worth 3 points. Then they've got an even further three-point line that's worth 4 points. And then anything between the three-point line and outside of 5 feet from the basket, you only get 1 point for that. So you can still take those mid-range shots, but that you only get 1 point if you make one. And so what that does is create a mentality that these shots are not as important. And the reason Nate Oates has identified them that way is because they're not effective shots. They're not efficient shots. He doesn't want anything in the mid-range. And so everything is either at the rim or at the three-point line, which means that on average, they're getting up around 33-pointers per game. And the reason that's an important number is because if they make a great percentage, you're done. Like, there's some legitimately good college basketball teams that I do not think could beat Gonzaga, even if they play well. They just can't. The talent gap and everything else is too wide. But Alabama is a team that is capable of beating anybody, even if their opponent plays well. And that's because of that three-point line and that commitment to the style of play. They, they're going to take 33s. They hit 23 in one game earlier this year. And, you know, if they do something like that, and that's not normal, but, like, what if they hit 13, 14, 15? You're in trouble. I don't care if you're Gonzaga, Michigan, Illinois, Baylor, or anybody else. And so I just think that's a fabulously constructed basketball team with a very specific purpose. And I won't be surprised if they're in the Final Four. In fact, I predicted them to get there.
In addition to that, you talked about yesterday that there's a lot of talk about the bubble, and really none of it matters. And I kind of agree. Like, we do spend a lot of time talking about the teams that did get in or didn't get in, when in reality none of those teams have a real chance at winning this whole thing. If you're grouping teams into categories, what are the teams that you think are capable of winning the national title this year?
The list is never as big as people think. It's usually, I think I somebody did a study several years ago, and it was like it's always six or seven teams. You know, like they're basically anybody we've learned, you know, can make a Final Four. You know, George Mason, VCU, Butler twice, Loyola Chicago.
UConn did it a bunch of times with
Yeah, like you can get there from almost anywhere. But once you get there, you know, the difference between making the Final Four and winning the national championship, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot. Because if you are quote-unquote Cinderella or not one of the top seeds, once you get there, you still got to win two more games against teams that are better than you. And that's hard to do. The list of Final Four contenders is long. The list of national championship contenders, very, very short. Obviously, if you're trying to make one this year, you start it with Gonzaga. You know, Sportsline is running simulations of the NCAA tournament bracket. You know, every time Jerry Palm would update it, they would do it again. Now we got an actual bracket. They're running the simulations again. Gonzaga's winning it more than 30% of the time. That might not sound like a lot, but it is a lot relative to this event, a single elimination tournament of 40-minute games where you got to win six in a row to cut the nets. Gonzaga is the overwhelming favorite. I still put Michigan on the list, but I'm not confident given the status of Isaiah Livers, one of their most important players, has a stress injury in his right foot. I think Illinois is definitely on the list. To me, that's the biggest challenger to Gonzaga in this event. They're 14-1 in their past 15 games. They've got two high-level pros in Kofi Coburn and Ayo Dosunmu, two guys that were in the 2020 NBA draft with Drew just before the deadline. And immediately made Illinois a preseason top 10 team. They have lived up to expectations. Baylor belongs on the list. Haven't looked quite like the same team since coming off of COVID pause, but I'm going to trust them. You know, that's the best 3-point shooting team in America. They are terrific on both ends of the court, but especially on the offensive end of the court, where they're top five in offensive efficiency. They belong on the list. I'll put Iowa on the list. They've guarded better and perhaps well enough to win the whole thing. The offense is off the charts. They've got Luka Garza in the middle. He's the best player in college basketball. They've surrounded him with shooters. You probably got to include them. Houston, I do think, belongs on the list, given the way they guard and the way they offensive rebound. And then I think Alabama would be my other team on the list. So if I told you it's usually six or seven, I just listed seven. Gonzaga, Michigan, Illinois, Baylor, Iowa, Houston, Alabama. I would be shocked if the national champion was anybody other than one of those teams.
All right, Gary, can you hang on with me for a few minutes? When we come back, we'll do some more NCAA tournament talk. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis Area Honda Dealers Bracket Challenge Contest, presented by Papa John's Pizza and Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get signed up now and be the first to make your picks for the tournament. This year, one local winner with the best bracket will receive $2,000 in prizes, including 50 large Papa John's pizzas, a $500 Visa gift card from Memphis Area Honda, a $500 Amex gift card from Inman Murphy Pest Control, and a $500 Visa gift card from Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get in at 92.9ESPN.com.
You've still got about 40 minutes to text this hour's $1,000 cash keyword for a chance to win a grand. This hour's keyword is penny, P-E-N-N-Y. You can text that word penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to the number 72881 right now for your chance to win a grand with 92.9. Again, text penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our $1,000 cash contest. Good luck.
Jared and his wife needed to get their home sold fast because they needed to relocate for a job opportunity as soon as possible. They talked to Josh Hysaw about his instant cash offer and decided it was the perfect option for them. They got full market value for the home without having to show it or have any open houses. Then they were quickly on their way to their new home and job. That's just one of the latest success stories connected to Josh Hysaw. Let your story be the next one. Do you want an experienced and effective agent with the best marketing strategy, somebody who can expose your home to the most buyers and negotiate for the most money possible? If so, then Josh Hysaw is the real estate agent for you. The Josh Hysaw team of Keller Williams Realty promises that if your home isn't sold in 45 days, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll just buy it. You pick, and if you want maximum convenience, Josh can even make you an instant cash offer. There are flexible fees, no upfront cost, and if you're unhappy for any reason at any time, you can fire Josh with no obligation. If you try to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I wanted to sell my home. His name is Josh Hysaw. He's a friend I trust. You can trust him too. 901-461-8147 is the number. That's 461-8147. He's online at joshsellsthemidsouth.com. The NBA season is rolling along, games every single day. Final Four be here before you know it. Fun times in sports, undeniably. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy them while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium, 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It is five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, so smooth, you can drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety: watermelon, lemon, coconut. The list is long. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, doesn't matter, that is the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or inside a liquor store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. That's newamsterdamspirits.com.
Hey, it's Jeffrey Wright with a BetQL tournament timeout, brought to you by BetMGM. In the opening round of the college basketball tournament, Tennessee takes on Oregon State. Tennessee's a 7.5-point favorite, and the total is around 133.5. Oregon State is plus 280 on the money line. Oregon State has an advantage in this game, but it isn't nearly as physical as what Tennessee brings to the floor. Tennessee guards and bigs should be able to attack the rim and get to the free throw line, where Oregon State gives up plenty of points to the opposition. Tennessee has had a tougher path to get to this point despite losing in the conference tournament semifinals, and it has more potential pro prospects on its roster as well. This line might be a little inflated, but the number is coming down since the odds were released this weekend. Wait and try to get the possible spread bet down on Tennessee. This BetQL tournament timeout is brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today. You must be 21 years or older, and you must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a list of terms and conditions. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Encore flavor. Corky's Barbecue.
Corky's is your home for authentic Memphis barbecue. Our dining rooms are open, or stop by our speedy drive-thru. Order your party packs today, starting at only $5.99 per person.
Hey, we get it. You don't want to be hearing a Progressive commercial right now, so let us tell you something you do want to hear. You are powerful. You're a warrior who bathes in your enemy's tears. Then you step out of that refreshing tear bath and into a bathrobe that somehow looks good on you. Yeah, you can pull off a robe. There. Don't you feel better? You'll also feel better when you save money for driving safely with Snapshot from Progressive. Savings you can use to buy more robes. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Get a free honey butter chicken biscuit at Wendy's this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because as the official breakfast of March Madness, we've invented Biscuit Ball. The game with only one rule. Score a free honey butter chicken biscuit at Wendy's, no catch. During breakfast hours this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday only. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
No purchase required. Limit one free honey butter chicken biscuit per person per day, March 18th through 20, 2021. Only at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours. Not valid for delivery orders or combined with other Wendy's app offers. No substitutions while supplies last.
Duncan Robinson, one of the NBA's most unlikely success stories, celebrates underdogs from basketball and beyond on his new podcast, The Long Shot. Hear from athletes and others who've proven naysayers wrong. Listen free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9 FM ESPN. We've got Gary on the phone still. Gary, last segment, we just got done talking about teams that could potentially win it all, but what about some teams that have the potential to play spoiler this year, knock some of those teams off? Is there anybody when you were filling out your bracket that you're looking at as a potential Cinderella, so to speak?
I shouldn't say never. I rarely have Cinderellas advancing in my bracket. My bracket always stinks, and the reason is because I watch this stuff every day for months. And then I rank 26 basketball teams every morning. Like, I understand all of the computer numbers. I have a pretty good idea of who's good and who's not. Like, I joked about it, I guess, on yesterday's show. Like, I sat down on Sunday afternoon to do a projected bracket just because I wanted to see, you know, how close I could get to the real thing. I spent 12 minutes on it. That's all it took. Based on, you know, all of the information that I've, you know, automatically assembled while doing just my job. I spent 12 minutes and I got 67 of the 68 teams correct. Like, being a bracketologist, it's a nice job, but it's not the hardest one in the world if you just simply understand what matters to the selection committee. So, you know, when you consider that, then the bracket comes out. And I can't convince myself to take teams that I know are inferior to their opponents. And it basically usually breaks down by seed line. So by the time I get to the Elite Eight, probably the Sweet 16 and definitely the Elite Eight, you know, I've got the best teams there. And I know it's not going to work out that way because it almost never does. But, again, if you are looking for a chalky bracket, you can look at mine every year because it often – it almost always is. So in my actual bracket, I don't have these Cinderellas, these spoilers. But if you're asking me to, like, okay, now forget about your bracket and let's just talk, Loyola Chicago is one that I could absolutely see – maybe even going all the way back to the Final Four. This is a team that's top 10 at KenPom right now. It's a ninth-ranked team in the country at KenPom. That means, in theory, on a neutral court, they would be favored over everybody in the country except for eight teams. They got seeded improperly. So they are playing Georgia Tech in the round of 64. They're an eight seed. Georgia Tech is a nine seed. I think Loyola Chicago wins that game. And you know, I've got Illinois in the national championship game. I think Illinois is the second best team in the country right now. But, you know, that's rough if you're the Illini to be a one seed and be 14-1 in your past 15 games. And in the round of 32, you're running into a team that's top 10 at KenPom. I do not think Loyola Chicago will beat Illinois, but I could certainly envision it because that is a really, really good basketball team. On the other side of the bracket, it's unusual to see Michigan State as a double-digit seed, but Michigan State is a double-digit seed, and obviously they've been playing well. They've got Tom Izzo. I don't think there's a person on the planet that would be surprised if we looked up and Michigan State, you know, wins its first game against UCLA and then also knocks off Texas also then knocks off BYU. They'd have to play BYU. Most people are going to pick Michigan State to beat BYU if they beat UCLA. And then I don't think it'll be crazy if Michigan State beats Texas in the round of 32. So if you're looking for lower seeds that could end up in the Sweet 16 and beyond, I would probably start with Loyola Chicago as an 8 seed and Michigan State as an 11.
That bracket reveal was pretty interesting, especially I know we talked about how the bubble teams don't really matter, but I, just first of all, having UCLA and Michigan State in the first four is incredible, but it also seems like it's just perfectly set up to try and get people to watch the first four. And it was also really interesting to me to have Kentucky's athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, who's, you know, chairman of the tournament committee, up there explaining why Louisville didn't make the field. That was that as entertaining to you as it was to me? I thought that, you know, that was perfect for people that want to have conspiracy theories about the tournament.
Oh, it is perfect for conspiracy theories. But the truth is, like, you know, Mitch Barnhart is the chair. He's one person in that room. There's 9 other people in the room. He's not in control as much as you would think. He's just sort of the face of the whole thing. So I know, because I saw it, some Louisville fans, like, of course we're the first team out when the Kentucky athletic director is the chairman of the selection committee. And that'll be something that I'm certain may talk radio fun in Louisville and Lexington over the past couple of days. But the truth is, it's a coincidence. It's in nothing more than that. You know, people often have, you know, they look at a bracket and they go, ooh, look at this. You know, if I'm not talking about this specific year, but it'd be like, you know, if Rick Pitino wins his first game and this other team wins its first game, then it's a matchup between Rick and one of his former assistants. Ooh, they must have done that on purpose. And then it'll be like, oh, look at this here. Kentucky's in the bracket. And if John Calipari makes it to the Sweet 16, he'll be coaching against Memphis. They must have done that on purpose. And the truth is, as somebody who puts together a bracket and, you know, somebody who understands how the process works, that stuff is, I don't want to say never intentional because I don't want to be naive, but I don't think it's often intentional. I think it's mostly just, if you put together a bracket and then say, okay, now search for interesting things, you'll always find them. They're always there. Like in, you know, one thing that a lot of people have pointed out is, you know, UConn is down there in the bottom left of your bracket. If they win their first game and Alabama wins their first game, then you've got Dan Hurley against Nate Oates. Nate Oates, of course, used to work for Bobby Hurley. And the reason Nate Oates worked for Bobby Hurley is because Dan Hurley recommended him to Bobby Hurley. So that is a story that will emerge. And you'll hear whoever is announcing that game mention it probably at least 3 times. But I don't think anybody did that intentionally. It just happens. And I say all that to say that I think Louisville being the first team out of the field with Mitch Barnhart as the committee chair, it's just something that happened. It has nothing to do with Mitch's job. Again, he's only one of 10 people in that room, but it certainly was interesting, and it's something I noticed just as much as you did.
As somebody that used to work for a newspaper in Louisville, good luck trying to tell angry Louisville fans that. It just never works out that way. You know.
Oh, no. You like the people who want to believe that, you're not going to convince them of anything else. You know, just like the people who want to believe that, you know, an election was stolen. You're not going to convince them of anything else. But, you know, the election wasn't stolen, and Mitch Barnhart did not push Louisville out of the bracket. Georgetown or Oregon State actually did.
The other thing that was released today was the AP All-Americans. I don't think there's any surprises on the list. Jared Butler, Baylor, Iodesuma, Illinois, Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State, Corey Kispert-Gonzaga, and Luca Garza from Iowa. No surprises there, right? But if there's one of those guys that could carry their team, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to say Io, but Cade Cunningham is also a pretty talented guy. Any of those players that could carry their team all the way to the national championship and become the star of this tournament?
Well, first, you're exactly right. Like, there were no surprises. In fact, it was probably 2 weeks ago we were on the Island College Basketball Podcast, and I said to Matt Norlander, I think the first team All-Americans are already locked in. And I named those five players, and it is those five players. I don't mean to imply I had any great insight. It was just obvious that those were the five guys that deserve to be first-team All-Americans. You're right. Io DeSumo is somebody who you could see, you know, taking Illinois all the way to a national title. A, because I think Illinois is equipped to go win a national title. But B, because, you know, he's probably the best closer in college basketball. Like, if you're under four tie game and we're in the Elite Eight, like, you want Io DeSumo on your team. But real close to him, and maybe even better, you could make a case, is Cade Cunningham. So I haven't heard many people make this comparison, but that Syracuse team that won the national title with Carmelo, that wasn't the best team in the country, and that wasn't supposed to be even a Final Four team. But Melo just got going, and he was the best player in the country, and he lifted Syracuse to a national title. I'm not predicting that for Oklahoma State at all, but I won't be shocked if we look up and we're in the Elite Eight, and it's because Cade Cunningham has solidified his place at the top of the NBA draft and carried Oklahoma State, you know, deep into this bracket. He is that kind of talent. I don't think Jared Butler can take you anywhere. I think Baylor has to do that as a team. But Cade Cunningham can take a team further than it's supposed to go. And I think Io DeSumo can take a team all the way to the first Monday night in April.
How cool does Io look in that mask? I mean, seriously looks like a superhero with the hair. Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's terrific. And by all accounts, like, I don't know him, but by all accounts, he's a terrific young man. Like, you know, works hard, sometimes with awesome players, there's red flags, you know, with NBA teams, there's no red flags with this guy. He's terrific on and off the court, I'm told. And absolutely, like, I would rather him not have a face injury. Sounds like it hurts, but it is cool to have him in that mask. And masked Io marching through the bracket would absolutely become one of the things that becomes a thing in this NCAA tournament.
Why did they come back? He and Kofi Coburn both came back at the last second. Do you know why? What was the biggest reason why they came back?
Well, again, I never want to be naive. Like, you know, oftentimes, I mean, I can just tell you stories about college basketball players who came back to school because they were convinced to come back to school for reasons that might violate NCAA rules. So I never speak in absolutes about this stuff. Like, oh, they just wanted to do one more year of English and play college basketball. Like, I don't, because I don't know that to be true. But this is true. Neither was a dead lock first round pick. In fact, both were probably second round picks. Io had real questions about his ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter. Now, he has answered a lot of those questions this season, but, you know, he was somebody who wasn't necessarily projected to be definitely wasn't projected to be a first round pick. So when you're weighing that, the uncertainty of okay, when is the draft going to be? Am I going to be picked? You know, if I'm in the G League, does the G League even exist? You got to remember, this all happens in the middle of a pandemic. I think there was just a lot of uncertainty. And then on the other side was, why don't we both go back to college and we're immediately a top 10 team and we can go try to, you know, go to a Final Four, win a national championship. And I really do think, you know, if somebody were to ask me my honest opinion, I do think it was rooted mostly in that. Scared of the uncertainty and intrigued by, you know, if we come back, the both of us, we are the type of players that automatically make our school a national championship contender. So let's go do it. And the truth is, that is often the case when you start naming a national champion. Like, Virginia won the last national championship. Arguably the best player on that team was DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter is somebody who could have reasonably entered the NBA draft the year before, but he decided to come back to school and do one more year of college. And the payoff for that was Virginia winning the national title. I talked about this yesterday. We often focus on recruiting classes and five-star freshmen. And sometimes those are the people who determine the national championship. 2012 Kentucky, 2015 Duke. But more often than that, the things that determine the national champion, it's not who enrolled the best recruiting class. It's usually what good team got legitimate NBA prospects to come back to school for one more year. Like, they could have reasonably left school, but they decided to come back to school for whatever reason for one more year, and then they ended up cutting the nets to win the whole thing. There is no better example of that this season than Illinois with Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. But there are other examples. You know, Macy Oteague and Jared Butler were both in the NBA draft. They both withdrew, came back to Baylor. Baylor's a one seed. Corey Kispert was in the NBA draft. He withdrew, came back to Gonzaga. Now Gonzaga's the favorite to win this bracket. So I think that's a common denominator that doesn't get talked about enough, that most national title contenders have a guy who could have been in the previous draft but decided not to, and that is the key to them winning. And again, Illinois is a perfect example.
Thanks, Gary. Good luck with your busy week.
All right, brother. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we'll do four stories at 444, including LeBron James is now a part owner of an MLB team, and it is not Gary's Mets. We'll get to that when we come back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The brackets are here. The brackets are here. It's the 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis Area Honda Dealers Bracket Challenge. Get in at 92.9ESPN.com and win. That's $2,000 in local prizes from 92.9 FM ESPN to one local winner.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. It is the home of the Erie Rate Lock. That is a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year, you don't have an accident. Your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. Lower than normal rates are available right now, so take advantage of that. There are two locations in the Memphis area. One is out in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other one is in Covington on Highway 51, and you can reach them 901-867-SAVE. That's 867-7283. You live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. You live in Mississippi, she can help you. She is a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you want to support a business that supports the University of Memphis Athletic Department, especially in these tough times, if you want to support a company that supports the University of Memphis, that's Elizabeth Rook Insurance. 901-867-7283. 867-7283. On the web, rookinsurance.com.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And now you'll find more ways to save on your favorites. When you download digital coupons, you can use up to 5 times in one transaction. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Duncan Robinson, one of the NBA's most unlikely success stories, celebrates underdogs from basketball and beyond on his new podcast, The Long Shot. Hear from athletes and others who've proven naysayers wrong. Listen free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
Hey, Jeff Allen, you got some deals over there that'll blow me away at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
You better believe it, Randy. I've got a 2021 Kia Forte, $135 a month lease.
That's less than $5 a day for a new car at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Plus a 2021 Kia Soul redesigned inside and out, $149 per month lease. And a 2021 Kia K5, $179 per month lease. 36 months, $3149 due at signing.
Plus, they all come with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah. 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, $650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte, NE319-491, MSRP 20,625, sold, M775597, MSRP 20,660, K5 MG005560, MSRP 25725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695 excludes tax title and license with approved credit, warranty is a limited powertrain warranty, see Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 3/31/21, dealer stock only.
Are you compelled to block your spouse's shot whenever they toss laundry into the hamper? Do you position the basketball game you've been streaming under your webcam so it looks like you're paying attention in a meeting? Are you unable to resist shouting, "Count it!" when you throw a can into the recycling? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be experiencing March Madness. And if you switch to GEICO, you may experience saving hundreds on car, home, motorcycle insurance, and more. Geico, proud partner of March Madness. Have you sold your car so the chicken wing delivery guy will have a place to park? Do you automatically disagree with anyone wearing vertical stripes? Did you just have your ceilings raised because you scrape your knuckles every time there's a buzzer beater? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be experiencing March Madness. And if you switch to Geico, you may experience saving hundreds on car, home, motorcycle insurance, and more.
Every time.
Geico, proud partner of March Madness.
There's always that one team that ruins your bracket, and that's why this year I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter if you're betting a number one seed or a number 12 seed. New users can get up to $1,000 in site credit back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits, and fast withdrawals, and always-on promotions. Your next chance to win on FanDuel is only minutes away. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you. They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet on the tourney. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing risk-free offer for first online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problems, call 1-800-889-9789. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of Radio.com and 929 FM ESPN.
Jeep Celebration and Ram Truck Month is on at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike, and it's time to get your adventure on. 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo ready to ride. $27,990 or $369 a month. Power up in 2021 Dodge Charger XST. $26,990 or $356 a month. And get serious performance with 2021 Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x2 Tradesman. Over $8,500 off MSRP or $355 a month. And leave boring behind in your 2021 Fiat 500 X-Pop. $20,990 or $264 a month. So drive past the rest and come to the best Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat. 1901 Covington Pike or shop online. GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Through Chrysler, all 3,500 cash down, 75 months at 4.11 APR. Cherokee MC 546501, MSRP 36110. Charger MH 515408, MSRP 32860. 1500, MS 500496, MSRP 35545. POP MP 887786, MSRP 26830. Includes all rebates and incentives. PF 695. Excludes tax on a license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3/31/21 dealer stock.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9 FM ESPN. Ben and I'm a little depressed about the NFL news that came out today.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
But let's get to it. Four stories at 4:44.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
We will start with the Memphis Grizzlies, who had a not-so-good game last night against the Phoenix Suns. They lost 122-99. Wasn't really close in the fourth quarter. They put in most of their bench. As far as storylines go, Justice Winslow did not play.
Yeah, what are they?
Justice Winslow didn't play on the second night of a back-to-back, which is kind of what you would expect since he didn't the first time. I think that's a trend that we're going to continue to see based on what we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
That meant Grayson Allen got to come back, and he played decent. So I guess that's a positive if you want to take a positive from this game. Grayson Allen plays 23 minutes. 4-for-8 from the field, 5-for-5 from the free throw line for 15 points and 4 assists. Pretty good. Ja, 15 points and 4 assists as well. He's hit a little bit of a
slump. Yeah, he's hit a little bit of a slump. We haven't talked a lot of Grizzlies, obviously, because of the Tigers and all the tournament news and everything. But yeah, they're on a 3-game losing streak, man. Like, it's I think, you know, it would have been encouraging because you're coming – that Friday night game against Denver this past Friday was encouraging. It was an encouraging loss. You played a really good team. You had a chance to win, and it came down to a final possession. There could have been a foul called on Jokic, but there wasn't. Like, whatever. I don't think anyone left that game thinking, oh, man, this is starting to turn for the worse. And then he just lay a dud in Oklahoma City on Sunday. And that was the one that's like, okay, well, and then you look at the schedule this upcoming week.
Yeah.
They really needed that one. And then Phoenix last night, I think everyone kind of thought on the road, late tip.
It's
second night of a back-to-back. That's going to be tough for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, no, it's definitely – the Grizzlies are in a little bit of a volatile situation now because, like you said, it felt like they were playing so good going into the break.
No doubt.
Even before you got to that Denver game, you had the game against the Bucks, which they played super tight, and they come back, beat the Wizards. You're feeling good about the team at that point. If you're a Grizzlies fan, but these close losses are going to end up catching up to them if they can't find a way to pull some of these out. And that's the concerning thing, I think, if you're the Grizzlies. Like, you don't expect to beat teams like the Nuggets and the Bucks, but you need a few of those wins to balance out some of these
right
basically scheduled losses. Like, nobody expected them to beat the Suns last night.
No, they're number two in the West.
Yeah,
right.
They're number two in the West. They're on the second night of a back-to-back. They're flying, you know, from Oklahoma City over to Phoenix and playing a game super late at night. Like, nobody thinks that the Grizzlies are going to win that game, and that's fine. You're going to have plenty of games like that in the second half of the season. But if you're going to lose those games, and especially the way that you lost them, just a total no contest in the second half, you got to get the ones that you have to get, like Oklahoma City, which they didn't. And part of that's just credit to Oklahoma City for going off from three-point range in the
they
fourth
did,
quarter.
But the Grizzlies had a chance to put them away. They did. They could have put that away, and they kind of let them hang in there. And then once Oklahoma City turned it on, it was hard for the Grizzlies to turn it back on.
But you got to get those games, and you got to find a way to sneak out some of these close wins.
Yeah.
And like, 1-point loss to the Bucks and a 1-point loss to the Nuggets is just, those can hurt later on in the season. I think that. And as I mentioned before, the Grayson Allen thing, I don't think the story has posted yet, but I actually wrote about this today because it was a bit of a tough question to ask, but like, asking players about getting benched is part of this
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And I asked Grayson Allen last night, I said, can you just take me into your mindset? Because basically Taylor Jenkins has decided, or at least it looks like he's decided, that when the whole backcourt is available, now Justice Winslow didn't play last night, that's why both Melton and Grayson Allen got to get in the game. But when everybody's healthy, it's basically been one or the other. Because Desmond mm-hmm. Bane, you're kind of wanting to see what he can do. He's been really good. He's shooting the ball well. He's good enough to where he's an everyday player at this point. And I think as a asset, and you just want to determine what his value is
and he's
you want to go.
Yeah, he's clearly part of their future plans.
Like, right.
He's not going to the bench and not getting minutes. That's
right.
not going to happen.
So with Desmond Bane, he's pretty much locked in. That leaves Allen and Melton and as part of this 10-man rotation for Taylor Jenkins to decide between. And I asked Grayson about it, and he kind of said, well, here's the good news. Like, and he said all of us, but really he's talking about himself and D'Anthony, know that whenever they come in, they can play. It's not a matter of them playing poorly. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of them having too many guys on the roster and not being able to fit them all in. And he just kind of acknowledged, it's like tough. I've been the odd guy out, and I just know that when I got to be ready when I come in. And if I play well, then it might mean that I get the chance the next time.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be an interesting battle between Melton and Grayson Allen, I think. And I kind of examined that in the story that I'll probably post later today, maybe tomorrow morning, that just says, like, they both kind of have their own thing. Like, for Grayson Allen, he's shot the ball really well when he's in there with the starting lineup,
mm-hmm.
especially from the corners. So if you're looking to get space for Ja Morant and have a better offensive group, like, I think that having Grayson Allen in probably benefits you more than having D'Anthony Melton in. But at the same time, Melton isn't the one who's been starting games. It's been Desmond Bane, who kind of does the same thing as Grayson Allen. So that becomes an aspect you have to look at. And then with Melton, he's actually shooting the ball from three-point range better than Grayson Allen has this year, but it is a small sample size. And for a career, I mean, I think if you were to say who's the better shooter, you would probably say Grayson Allen, not De'Anthony Melton, even though he's shooting a higher percentage.
Yeah.
And but Melton just does so much for you defensively. Leads the team in steals per game, is only behind, I think, Jonas Valanciunas, Justice Winslow, and Brandon Clark when it comes to blocks per game. I mean, he is one of the best defensive two guards in the league. So he kind of brings more of an all-around game, but maybe doesn't fit with that starting lineup quite as well. So it kind of just, it makes it really tough. It's like, pick the player that you think fits better with this group, and you really can't have a wrong answer. So that's going to be really interesting for me moving forward.
Yeah, another thing that's been disappointing about this three-game losing streak is you've kind of wasted some huge Jonas Valanciunas games.
Yeah.
I mean, the other night he has the massive one. Now they ended up – the big one that he had when he had like the 29-20, they ended up getting a win. But since then, I mean, last night he had 24-17. Like, he's been just on a tear lately. Rebounding and scoring, and so, you know, hopefully they can get back on track and not waste some of his great performances. But I figure we'll probably come back to the Grizzlies because they have an interesting week ahead, so we'll probably talk about them a little bit in the next hour.
For sure.
Story number two.
We've got NFL news all over the place. So
you want to stick to the teams that we care about for now?
Yeah, okay. I mean, well, let's just start by saying this is all you need to know. The Patriots signed a whole bunch of dudes, Hunter Henry, born from the 49ers. Like, they signed a bunch of guys.
Yeah,
Jonnu Smith from the Titans. So that's what you need to know about them. There's been a couple trades. The Saints made a minor trade. Ryan Fitzpatrick signed with the Redskins. That's pretty much the gist of that. But our teams have major news today, so we will talk about both. I'll let you start with the Titans.
Okay, so the Titans have actually been making a lot of moves over the past couple days, and at first I was like, what are they doing? Like, they're letting everyone go, and then they made some big signings yesterday, and so I was optimistic, and then they let some more guys go today that were pretty big focal points of the team, so... it's interesting what they've done over the past couple days. They've cut starting defensive players Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, and Kenny Vaccaro, who are all in the secondary and like all start. Now, Adoree was hurt most of last year, and when he came back, he was not good. He has shown signs in his young career of being a good cornerback in this league, but I think overall, most Titans fans who watch every game would probably say he's been a disappointment for where he was drafted. I mean, he was a first-round pick. You kind of expect those guys to make Pro Bowls. So I'm not too bummed about it. I just don't know what they're going to do because they don't have any corners. Like, they really Kevin Byard at safety, and he's obviously an awesome player.
Yeah.
I saw he tweeted the Fresh Prince
meme where he's in the empty house because all his teammates are gone.
Yeah,
all the secondary.
But I don't really know what their plans are. I guess they're going to draft a corner. There's not a lot of great ones still out there. They might have a trade in mind. Also let Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith walk, who were big parts of the offense last year. Now, Corey Davis was in the last year of his deal. The Titans didn't pick up his option, so that's why he walked. And the Jets gave him 3 years, $37 million. So, like, the Titans were never going to do that, and I actually called it Friday. I said that he was going to go to the Jets, so let me pat myself on the back. And then Jonnu is a good player, too. He had his breakout season last year, but they went to Anthony Firkser a lot the second half of the season, so I think they kind of knew that maybe they wouldn't re-sign Jonnu Smith. So I think that was kind of the thinking behind that. But the big signings were, of course, Bud Dupree from the Steelers. Gave him multi-year deal, $16 million, and also Danico Autry from the Colts. So they addressed the pass rush. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year at getting to the quarterback. So hopefully this is going to be a big addition for that line, especially with Jeffrey Simmons already there. So I like what they did there, but they're obviously going to have to figure out a cornerback because they don't have one right now. So they're going to have to figure that out over these next few weeks. I think they probably got to move up their sleeve. They're going to have to get another receiver as well. But overall, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic about what they're doing. I think that they've probably got some more stuff up their sleeve. You, on the other hand.
I am so freaking bored of the Chicago. I'm already bored to tears of this Chicago Bears team and this pathetic-ass front office and coaching staff. It's been the way that they have handled their quarterback situation for years has been completely atrocious. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Bears signed Andy Dalton today to a one-year deal after teasing all of us like they're going to go out and trade for Russell Wilson. The only positive that I can find in this is maybe it will get the ownership moving and fire Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, because this has been a completely botched situation from the very beginning. You trade up to get Mitch Trubisky, who turns out to be a total bust. You let him walk at the end of the season, and you're pretty lucky that the ownership group decided to keep you around to begin with, because you were pretty average. You started the season good last year, and you finished absolutely atrociously. And so you kind of know, if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, if you don't get it figured out this year, you're toast. You're gone. Yep. And so what do you do? Beginning the year before, you go out and you trade a fourth-round pick to get Nick Foles when, oh, by the way, Andy Dalton is out there and nobody is signing him.
Sure.
When everybody thought he was going to be a starting quarterback somewhere, and you could have had him for super, super cheap. That's what the Cowboys end up doing, signing him as a backup, and he ends up having to play because Dak gets hurt. And you could have had him cheap. Instead, you spend a fourth-round pick on Nick Foles –